But I think what they'll do for you, what I'm giving you here today, is kind of an overview of a number of things that you can then, and pointers to where to go to get more information. So if you, if something seems interesting, if you are hit with a question on something you've never heard of before, maybe this toolbox will give you a little bit of an explainer on where to start. In terms of writer's block, you know, with this massive toolbox situation, each one of these slides we're going to touch on here, you know, for example, there's a slide on PIDs. We just saw Sky and Julie do 45 minutes in depth on special districts and PIDs. You've got these super expert folks who know a ton of stuff about this. Each one of these slides is an hour-long conversation on its own. It's a 35-page paper on its own. So writing a paper, I couldn't do it. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. What made more sense to me and what I did do instead was I created a website. It's smallcitytoolbox.com, pretty simple. And instead of doing a paper, kind of for each one of these tools, I've created a quick and dirty kind of web page in that website, smallcitytoolbox.com, that has links to the statutes, has links to other explainers, links to agency explanations of, you know, what type A EDC is and how it's useful in a small town, things like that. So I hope you hope you find that useful, right? Instead of a piece of paper, a paper being written that maybe you throw away, maybe you don't ever read it anyway. I'm hoping that this website can be more of an actual toolbox. You can go to, click a link, get more info, kind of in a real live sense. So that's kind of the other kind of weird thing that I did here. I also see this, and one of the reasons I did that, not only is it for small cities who don't have access to maybe all the resources that a large town would have. There also, I know I've been doing this maybe 5 or 6 or 7 years, municipal law. And I remember coming to the fundamentals course, coming to the land use conference for the first time. And there being that wide, I don't know what it is, a gap between those two conferences. Fundamentals is fundamental. It's the 101s. It's really great. And it gets you over that first hump. And then you get into the land use conference and it's like, bam, you've got, like I say, 45-minute talk on PID financing. It's like, whew, over my head. I'm hoping that this talk can kind of be for people, maybe a bridge between those two conferences. It's not totally fundamental, but it's not going to be. I can't explain everything to do with a development agreement today in 3 minutes. But I hope it gives you kind of an intro to some stuff. If you were a new attorney, if you were a new planner, if you were new to city administration, I hope this gives you kind of a broad sort of group of tools that you can use, take back to your city and make it better. The other thing I found challenging with putting this together is, you know, when you're doing a topic, it's very specific. If you're talking about, you know, the Zoning Board of Adjustment, you know that that's what you're going to talk about, the Zoning Board of Adjustment. So you break down all the various things, you go through it. It's very granular. In this topic, it's just, what tools do you want to talk about? There's no project to explain. There's no process to explain. So I had to come up with sort of a theme, a focus, some sort of a story to give a framework for what I'm doing today. And rather than talking about tools, I'm thinking about how do you build a community? Like I believe in cities. I think cities are cities exist because people want to come together. Social animals want to get together in communities and form this, I keep saying the word community, but that's what it is. Make a community. And cities are then given these tools by which you can, the community can come together and make sure that what is being created as the city grows and grows and grows still stays in line with who those people are and what they want to see, what they want to live with, you know, what they want to be around them. And I know that in the last couple of years, a couple of tools have been removed from the city. The ability to annex property involuntarily. So the city's ability to expand geographically has been massively curtailed in the last couple of years. Also with the revenue caps from ad valorem tax being, you know, constricted a little bit. You can't rely on an 8% revenue growth every year. Now it's 3.5%. How do cities use the tools that we still have within these constrictions to continue to deliver what I think are better communities than you get when you're outside of cities? If you're trying to get together, if you're building neighborhoods in the county, I'm not sure they're as good as city neighborhoods. They could be, it's possible, but with the tools cities have, I think there's a greater chance to build community. So that's sort of my focus here is how do cities in this era of annexation, constriction, revenue constriction, continue to build these great communities, and what tools can be used to do so. So the first tool I want to talk about is annexation. Again, Local Government Code Chapter 43, a little history. We used to have a thing called involuntary annexation where a city could reach out into its extraterritorial jurisdiction and sort of against the will of a landowner, incorporate them into the city. It's a big process, lots of agreements, lots of discussions, hearings. But ultimately, that's what you do. Cities could expand and expand and expand. That has been taken away. Currently, the way that cities can use annexation, I mean, annexation isn't dead. Involuntary annexation is dead. Currently, to annex property, you can do it through landowner request, which is where it is what it sounds like. Landowner asks to join your community. There's hearings, an agreement, and you let them into the city if you would like to, if the city would like to. There's also a petition and election method where the city residents, people can circulate a petition for signatures within an area that they want to annex. If appropriate numbers of signatures are secured on the petition, there's then an election and the voters within that area get to choose whether or not they want to be included in the city. So again, it is those folks who own the property getting to choose whether or not they come into the city. So how is this a tool? This is a ridiculous tool. We can't do anything with it if no one wants to participate with us. I think that's what makes annexation a tool still, is that